Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this second day of November 2019, and we're going to be looking at What Good Am I? Sounds like an old country western song. I cannot handle country western. Never have been able to. Anyway, we're going to talk about goodness and all of that and mercy and maybe some kindness. And I hope that maybe you will feel some goodness and kindness and mercy in your life by becoming a sponsor and helping us sustain our radio program and our TV efforts here on Aspire. It is only through your tax-deductible gift that I am able to offer all the things I offer, including my work at hospice. So, in my Batmo project, which we don't want to forget, there's so many things that your donation goes out to serve in this world, not only in my community, but in, you know, places all over who listen and watch Aspire on our radio program here on the website at aspire.org. You can go there and listen to past radio programs and see all of the TV programs if you like. There are a lot of them there. We still haven't put up all of the TV programs, but we're going to. More and more will go up. It's quite a list of things that I've done. So with all of that being said, your donation looms very important. Our mystery donor, who was very generous and has been very kind to us, will be matching your donation dollar for dollar. If you give a year-end donation, he will match it. If you become a sponsor, he will match that. And that's really a very, very generous thing he's offering. With your sponsorship, which is very important to Aspire and to me personally, you get the message of the month each and every month. It's available in CD, or you can download it from the website at aspire.org. You get access to my podcast, video cast, and my very, what do I want to say, notorious commentaries. These commentaries are about a man, me, who has spent almost 50 years being a spiritual teacher. And it's kind of my last hurrah, insights into what I have faced, what you face as a student or someone who is considering to be a student, and how it all affects the world. They're controversial, to say the least. So I hope that you will avail yourself of it all and join me in this reading of the commentaries. There are tons of them on the website, and when you sign up to be a sponsor, you get access to all of them. Plus, you get access to all of my TV discourses that I did for the series of all the TV programs that I offered, and I think you'll find them interesting. You can download them, listen to them, do whatever you like. They're yours for free for being a sponsor. So you get a lot of very beautiful gifts, and I really hope that you will help us become a sponsor. This word good, this is an interesting word. This month, for my message of the month and the discourses and the beautiful breath journal that we offer, it's on the mercy of goodness. And what does that mean? Jesus said there was none good but God. He said that to his disciples. But I looked it up in the dictionary. Good, to be deserved or approved of. Pleasing, expressing approval, having the qualities required for a particular role, appropriate to a particular purpose or occasion. Things like that. That's how we look at the word good. And I wanted to get that over to you because good is relative to a person who has needs or relative to a person's emotionality typically. And that doesn't make it necessarily good. Whoa. We'll get into this. First question comes from Donald. He does not tell me where he lives. I wish I could talk to him. He said, Greg, I see little good in me at all. When you talk about good, what are you really talking about for someone who sees no good in themselves? Donald. Donald, I deeply feel for you. I do. There is great goodness in all of us. The problem with us is we don't have any mercy. And goodness only comes out of us. It emits from us only when we are willing to allow goodness to come through mercy. If you develop a merciful attitude, a merciful state of inner being, if you are merciful and kind about everything that you touch and do in the course of this lifetime, you will find great beauty and kindness, great goodness pouring out of you. It won't be out of the Donald, though. It will be out of the heart. And most people, I hate to say it, they are not that interested in their heart. They're interested in affection and emotionality, but they're not much interested in the state of the heart. Hence, they have no soul. If I have no soul, I have no goodness. Literally, I have no goodness at all. Goodness follows mercy. And if you can understand that ever so slightly, it will help you. I have learned many things in my life through hospice, through helping people cross over. I have learned many things about the living, and I've learned many things about the dead. The dead has to do more with the way people live. The living has to do with the way a person leaves their body. We are here to live and die alive. And if you don't understand that, if you don't understand what it means to die alive, then you don't understand the meaning of your life and the significance of everything that touches your daily living. It is extremely important to understand this. You can't be cheap. You can't be unforgiving. You can't be reluctant to help. You can't be cynical about meditation, inner work. You have to develop and practice a soul. The only thing you can take with you through death is the state of your love. That's the only thing. And with that, of course, comes karma. You will always, all of us, will take our karma with us. And where that will go and how that will manifest, I do not know. That's up to you individually. But your karma is involved in the state of how you love and what has or has not kept you from the journey of your life. This, I can't even begin to tell you how important this is to the state of your being. You know, Donald, there is good in you, and here's the way you might discover it. If you make every nuance of your life, if you make everything in your lifetime important, if you look at every detail of your life and you see it for what it is and how it works, you will understand how to give and forgive. Giving is breath. It is how you breathe in. It's how you breathe out. Giving and forgiving are the most important aspects of human experience. As you give and you forgive, you transcend into the soul. Most people don't want to do this because they have genetic pride, ethnic pride, human pride, vanity. And if you look at human pride and vanity and all of that other stuff that we cultivate through the way we live our life, you create within your daily living a lack, a fear, a limitation. You know what we're really afraid of? Really deep inside. In all my years of counseling and helping people, you're really afraid of the lack of love you have within yourself. You're afraid of you. The you, in your case, that is the Donald. In my case, the Gregory. And the reason we're afraid of all of this is because they are so mean-spirited. They are ugly, to say the least. And no matter what you may think of yourself and how you and I might want to prop it up and say, well, I'm not that bad, we are. It's not a matter of bad. It's a matter of ignorant and how we want to stay ignorant. We are only as smart. We are only as good as our ignorance. Your capacity for goodness lives within your authentic heart. Now, there's plenty of things you can do in that authentic heart that would manifest into some wonderful goodness in this world. Forgiveness is major. It is a major component. And like I say, to have that kind of forgiveness, you're cultivating mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. They shall obtain forgiveness. They shall obtain that sweetness of life. And it comes with kindness. Now, there is nothing, Donald, I can say here on the radio that's going to change you. Heck, there isn't anything I can say on the radio that changes anyone. I am planting seeds in you. It depends on how devoted you are to love, how devoted you want to be to changing your life, developing yourself beyond the rigors of your human frailties. So, what can I say to you? Want love more than wanting what you think is love, Donald. Try doing kind and good things, things that are appropriate that help another person. Just look at them, see what you can do to forgive them and to have mercy upon them. It is very, very important. Please forgive me, Donald. Thank you for writing. Namaste. I wish, Donald, I could help you more. I could if we were to talk, but I'm sure that's not going to happen. But if it does, I'll be there to help you. The next one comes, let's see, from Cody. Does not tell me where he lives. What good can I do in this world of such evil and corruptness, Cody? Cody, I'm in a project that we call the Batmo Project. It's we have a Batmobile, a replica. And me and some of my students who are very brave and not self-conscious don the the cap and cowl of Batman characters. I have found as we go out into the community, into hospitals that I used to do when I was much younger, and the things that we are currently doing to help children mean a great deal to them. You can reach them in different ways. And for us, it's interesting to watch how Batman opens up doors inside of children. He is a crusader, and we're doing this whole thing of being crusaders for kindness, for compassion, and that's our motto. And we work very diligently to help these children as much as we possibly can, beyond the realm of their family life, their culture, their misunderstandings, how they were raised. You would be surprised. The good you can do? You can do little things. That's what we're doing, just little things. I do little things at hospice. I do little things with my students. I do little things with kids. I show them how to be kind. That's all you can do, to have the courage to be kind. And to have that courage to be kind means a great deal in this world. You cannot change this world. This world will always be what it is. As Jesus said so eloquently, there will always be wars and rumors of wars in this world, and there always will be. And there's not a doggone thing you can do about it. But I don't have to, and you don't have to, be a part of all that. That's the key, to remove ourselves from the hectic pace of human hate, human fear, and begin to do those things that make love possible In my case, I have found that with human beings, adults, the most that an adult can do is emotionality. They're all into their emotions, and that's what they do. They're depraved in that. Just emotion, emotion, emotion. But if you can do little things, let's say for an open-hearted person, which I find occasionally at hospice, but more in children, if you can be around them, they're fun, they're interesting, they're challenging, they have a great goodness within them that hasn't yet been, shall we say, tainted with the human stain of resistance. And I get a big kick out of how beautiful they are. In their eyes, there is that wonder, and yet there is that wisdom they possess that is truly incredible. It's all there. It's all there. You must find a way to give. What good, you say, can I do in this world? You can do little things. Please, thank you. I did a commentary on please and thank you. In fact, it's going to come up here in November in offerings. I think it's the Thanksgiving offering. Do you know how hard it is for people to say please and thank you? I mean, really? It just amazes me. It's hard for me to fathom the idea of living on this planet and not being grateful for everything that occurs on this planet, everything that we face on this planet. It blows my mind. It really does. I find it really interesting that we just don't get it. We just don't understand how important it is to humble ourselves to say thank you and really mean it. Everybody says thank you as a polite innuendo, but they don't really understand the depth of thank you. A thank you means I surrender to your goodness. I surrender to your mercy. I am grateful for your entrance into my life. Now, most people want some emotional gratification as that entrance, as that thing that makes them grateful. If you give a person $100, they're grateful. They didn't have that before. If you take $100 from them, they are not that grateful. It depends on what it's for, huh? Yeah. But, you know, what you and I don't realize is that giving, that let's say you gave $100, you don't realize how that's going to come back to you. You don't realize the laws that you have set into motion that are automatically just going to come back to you. You would be very surprised to understand the nuance of every gesture you make and how it comes back to you one way or another. Why don't we understand this? Because we're too thick. We're so overindulged and lazy, indifferent, that we miss what it's really all about in the course of our lifetime. We miss the beauty of it all. We just miss it because we don't care to understand how important love is to our life. It is extremely important. There is nothing more important in my life or yours than that of ceasing this cycle of birth and death, to stop it over and over again from occurring, birth and death and birth and death. How many thousands of them have we had because we were just too thick, too mentally occupied with hate and fear to be able to see the meaning of it all? I can't even tell you how many with myself. I'm just speaking with me. So that is the meaning and the significance of living, to end that cycle. Everything else is just pure intellectual prowess, where we think that because we can intellectually put it all together means that we understand. and we don't. Thank you, Cody, for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Last one comes from Albert. He does not tell me where he lives. No one is good to me. Why could I be good to anyone else? I don't believe that people are good. Albert. You know, Albert, I understand how you feel. Basically, you know, I'm always kind of curious, and I play this game with my students to see if a new student has what it takes to be in the practice and if an old student has learned anything from the practice. I push them to see how good is your good? Really, how far will you go? What defines whatever it is you think of as good? How good is my good? Well, Albert, that is something that is found only in mercy. If I have no sense of mercy, my good, no matter what I do, is less than best. But if I find that goodness in my heart, in my soul, in my being, if I find myself in a place where mercy is of utmost importance and showing mercy over my selfish desires as Gregory, then I've achieved something really quite interesting. You can do this. Well, anyone can do this, but why don't we do it? For the simple fact that we're too selfish to really have any sense of mercy. We're trying to make everything fit the puzzle of our desires, our ambition, our pride, our vanity. We're trying to elongate our lifetime with all sorts of things. It's a never-ending list of things that we do. To find love in our life, to find meaning in our life, to find significance in our life beyond the concepts of what we call our reality is the essence of it all. So when a person is meditating, what are they really doing? They are transcending. They are going beyond the corporal mentality of wanting things to be the way they want them and finding significance in the way of the heart, in the way of the soul. We only find significance in the way of the body and its emotionality. And think of how much time is spent in your body thinking about pleasuring it, comforting it, or avoiding any kind of pain that it might feel. Most of our life is spent admiring and then basically having maintenance for the human body. Well, I don't have any problem with the maintenance part. The admiration part, the part that plays off of that is not too healthy. And I know many people who do this, many. To do this kind of thing, this kind of work, inner work, requires a compassion that exceeds the desires of a person's ambitions. And if you don't have that, then you see things. No one is good to me. I understand. There is a lot of people out there, a lot of situations out there where goodness is not obvious. It's not evident. It's not the first thing that people think about. But, you know, for you, it has to be the first thing you think about. It has to be your all of everything. And if you can do that, which you can, if you can put love ahead of desire, ambition, and pride, if you can let love live you, as I always say, then you have something very unique in your life, Albert, and your devotion to your goodness will appear to be very, very important because it is. I'm out of here. Thank you for your question, Albert. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. I hope you will join me. Please forgive me for all of my words. Namaste.